For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. After saying that a new ethics law wouldn't affect the controversial hiring of former Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling, JMU now says he's left his job as of July 1st, just as the law takes effect. Current Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax has resigned from the law firm where he was a partner after accusations that he sexually assaulted two women. And the NRA holds a town hall meeting in Virginia Beach. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, July 3rd. After his hire sparked a new ethics law in the General Assembly, former Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling has stepped down from his position at James Madison University. Bowling's position ended Monday, July 1st, when the new law took effect. Last year, immediately after he finished a term on JMU's Board of Visitors, Bowling took a six-figure job with the university as a senior fellow in residence for public service. That hire was criticized by many, including Republican State Senator Mark Obenchain of Harrisonburg, as a clear conflict of interest. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported in December that Bowling had helped create the position for himself shortly after he left the board. Although JMU maintained that the hire was ethical, the school announced Monday that Bowling no longer worked there. Last December, in response to the hiring, Senator Mark Obenchain of Harrisonburg introduced a bill requiring at least a two-year wait between serving on a public university's Board of Visitors and working for the university. In a statement, Bowling said that he was, quote, extremely disappointed that he could not continue in the position. In March, JMU spokesman Bill Wyatt said that the university had no reason to believe the law would affect Bowling's contract. WMRA's operating license is held by the JMU Board of Visitors. Lawyers asked a judge on Tuesday to order one of the men who participated in the violent white supremacist rally in Charlottesville in August 2017 to stop making unlawful threats against the plaintiffs and their lead attorney. In a motion filed in U.S. District Court in Charlottesville, lawyers for 10 people who were hurt during the 2 days of violence said Christopher Cantwell recently focused his hateful rhetoric on attorney Roberta Kaplan. They allege that Cantwell, responding to an article about Kaplan in a Jewish publication on June 18th, used an anti-Semitic slur on a social media website when referring to Kaplan. The lawyer said they fear that Cantwell's behavior could jeopardize the safety of the plaintiffs and their attorneys, as well as their right to a fair trial. Cantwell of Keene, New Hampshire, pleaded guilty to assault after he was accused of using pepper spray against two counter-protesters during the August 11th torchlit rally by white supremacists. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax has resigned from the law firm where he works in Northern Virginia in the wake of unresolved accusations that he assaulted two women, from partner station WCVE. Charles Fishburne reports.
Two women publicly accused Fairfax in February of assaulting them in the early 2000s. He denied it and said the sexual encounters were consensual. Fairfax demanded criminal investigations and refused to step down as lieutenant governor in February. But he was placed on leave from the law firm of Morrison & Forster, which conducted its own investigation. Political analyst Rachel Bitticofer.
It suggests that the law firm was not happy with the results. We certainly can't know if he was forced out.
Both Fairfax and the firm said the probe found no evidence of misconduct, which may have been limited to his conduct at the firm. But he still resigned, saying, as he put it, "At the present time, it is best for me to focus my attention on serving the people of Virginia." Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Virginia's Medicaid agency has announced a new outreach program and other steps to help lower the maternal mortality rate of black women. The Virginia Department of Medical Assistance Services said Monday it has launched technology upgrades and other efforts to eliminate delays in healthcare treatment for pregnant women on Medicaid. DMAS said it's also trying to increase treatment for pregnant women with substance use disorders. Last month, Governor Ralph Northam announced a goal of eliminating the racial disparity in mortality rates by 2025. The governor said the maternal mortality rate of black women is more than twice as high as that of white women. Northam pledged to focus on addressing Virginia's longstanding history of racial inequity after a blackface scandal nearly forced him from office in February. The National Rifle Association held a town hall in Virginia Beach. Tuesday night, politicians and members of the NRA discussed the governor's call for the special session in a meeting that was closed to the press. From partner station WCVE, Brianna Scott reports.
NRA spokesperson Catherine Mortensen said Governor Northam's special session is a political stunt to distract from his own political scandals.
These are more gun control laws that would simply make it harder for law-abiding Virginians to protect and defend themselves, but would not prevent criminals from getting access to firearms.
Gun control advocate Carolyn Lindsay stood outside of the meeting. Lindsay's niece was shot and killed in Chicago the same week as the Virginia Beach shooting.
Gun violence is affecting more and more families, and it could affect theirs too.
Northam is proposing legislation for universal background checks and assault weapon bans at the July 9th special session.
It's Brianna Scott with partner station WCVE reporting. Thousands of Virginians have already applied to have their driver's licenses reinstated, and the new program is just 2 days old, Virginia Public Radio's David Seidel explains.
Governor Ralph Northam was just one day into a tour to explain how Virginians can get their driver's licenses reinstated, but he was already noting the progress.
To process that many individuals, I think that's something that we should be proud of.
At an outreach event in Roanoke Tuesday, Northam said 26,000 Virginians have taken advantage of a new policy that went into effect July 1st. It allows people who had their driver's licenses suspended for unpaid court costs and fees to get them reinstated. Up to 600,000 people are affected by the change. Northam says it's about equity and access.
It's really common sense when you get right down to it. If someone is expected to pay their court fees and fines, they have to work. And if they don't have their driver's license, they can't drive to work.
The change does not eliminate the requirement to pay court costs, and licenses that are suspended or revoked for other reasons will stay that way. Workers at a mobile DMV office outside the event Tuesday said they had processed about 100 customers in just a few hours. In Roanoke, I'm David Seidel.
Starting this week, winners of the Virginia Lottery can remain anonymous. Also from Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
Imagine hitting a $10 million jackpot in the Virginia Lottery. Immediately, your phone blows up. Long-lost relatives start calling. Charities hit you up for donations. Maybe you even get scammed. For people who win the lottery, sometimes more money leads to more problems.
They've been subjected to frivolous lawsuits and threatened.
Delegate Lee Ware, a Republican from Powhatan.
A Virginian who won a prize has moved five times in the last decade to get away from some of these kinds of problems.
That's why Ware introduced a bill allowing lottery winners to remain anonymous. Governor Ralph Northam signed the bill back in February, and this week it goes into effect. Critics worry that the new secrecy could lead to corruption. During the debate over the bill, Republican Senator David Suterline of Roanoke mentioned examples of collusion between lottery officials and straw buyers.
It was amazing how many times they had kept winning at the exact same stores where they happened to have a friend who worked there or who owned the place.
Virginia is joining six other states where the identity of lottery winners remains shielded from the public. Michael Pope.
Finally today, the Orion space capsule tested for years at NASA Langley to survive water impact upon return to Earth has passed another major test as NASA ramps up its efforts to return to the moon by 2024. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
At 31,000 feet, traveling at 1,000 miles an hour, the launch abort system was fired in an emergency test run, freeing a mock-up of an Orion capsule built at Langley to be sure future astronauts could survive.
Pyros 3 and 4, discharge both sides.
NASA Langley's Kristen D'Amadeo was there.
This morning, NASA successfully completed a stress test of the launch abort system of its Orion spacecraft, the crew module that will take the first woman and the next man to the surface of the moon in 2024.
To extract them successfully shortly after launch is one of the mission's most dangerous maneuvers. NASA Langley has been instrumental in developing and testing the Orion capsule. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Wednesday.